Welcome back to another episode of Faith and Fame. In this episode, I'm joined by China Bethley, an entrepreneur, author, and cryptocurrency and DCX enthusiast. As the owner of Rich University, she's teaching individuals how to invest in Bitcoin to build their wealth. Growing up in the rough streets of New Orleans, China knew she'd have to find an out. So she opened her first business, a hair salon that was unfortunately destroyed by Hurricane Katrina. Desperate for an income, China and her husband moved to Atlanta to pursue a career in music. Shortly after moving to Atlanta, she was diagnosed with breast cancer. China felt at her lowest, but knew she had to keep going. And after several radiation, surgeries, and chemotherapy treatments, China turned to the world of cryptocurrency and earned millions. That's right, millions of dollars. The mother of three has now turned her life around and is helping others do the same. She is currently partnered with the Steve and Marjorie Harvey Foundation to teach mothers how to make a passive income. This is Faith and Fame with Brittany Q. Hill. Stay tuned. I want to start from the beginning. First of all, thank you for joining Faith and Fame. But from the beginning, I want to know the beginning of your journey to millions. So let's start with your first business, a hair salon, that I understand was destroyed by Hurricane Katrina. So let's talk about that devastation and how that eventually led you to Atlanta.
Absolutely. So originally from New Orleans, Louisiana, and rich culture, beautiful place, great people. I was always extremely ambitious, grew up with my parents who are still married today, home full of love. And my dad, he was a hustler by nature. My mom was more traditional. She worked really, really hard. And I learned my work ethic from my mom. I learned just how to be creative from my dad. And so I started a business very early on, very, very young, a beauty salon, 4,200 square feet. It was on Xavier University's campus. It was just a complete gold mine. Because as you know, when college students are coming to school and they're freshmen, they don't know anybody and don't know anything. It was extremely convenient and made a lot of money. My husband, I was married very young. He had a music production studio. And so we did very, very well. And then Hurricane Katrina came and just wiped it all away and led us to Atlanta against the state, you know, was telling us to go west because the storm was coming east. It was coming from the Florida area. And it was so crowded on the interstate, Brittany. It was unbelievable that from New Orleans to Baton Rouge, it takes about an hour drive. But during this time, it took about 5 hours to get where it would take an hour to. And so people were running out of gas on the interstate. There was no gas in gas stations, which is how we knew that something was happening. Because to be honest with you, when you live in a place like New Orleans, which is probably similar to a place like Florida, we're so used to hurricanes that we don't necessarily respond to every threat or every alarm. And it wasn't until we watched the news and we saw that there was no gas in the city that we knew something was really going on. So it wasn't until the day before the storm that we even packed up to leave. So we have two SUVs that are now headed to Houston like everybody else. And I was the one to decide, listen, let's just go east. This is too much traffic. We don't want to be stuck on an interstate. You know, unfortunately, by the time we did make it to Atlanta, we realized that people had died on the interstate. You know, the water had come and it just was horrible. And so we decided to go east and literally drove into the eye of the storm. It was so crazy because they didn't even have windshield wipers that worked on we were in an excursion. The windshield wipers did not work. We had to keep putting Rain-X on it. So just imagine driving into a hurricane, not just a storm, not just rain. It's pitch black at night. There's no gas nowhere for miles. And so we never know each time we get gas and fill up if we're going to make it to the next gas station because we're taking all back roads because the interstate is completely blocked off. So it was like something out of a movie. And so that's what led me to Atlanta, which intended to be a weekend, ended up being many, many years later.
That is amazing, crazy, and frightening all in one. That's scary. My goodness.
It was scary. It was scary. Imagine going from, I was always very ambitious. My husband always was too. And we were homeowners, business owners. We went from homeownership, business ownership to standing in line for food and clothes in Atlanta at Salvation Army or whatever people was helping us at. And it was just like walking through a
top. Oh, I imagine. But the idea that at the drop of a dime, you made the decision to go east.
Yes. All I was thinking about is where do I want to be for a weekend? Do I want to be in Houston, or would I love to be in Atlanta? And I was like, let's go to Atlanta. We have a good time for a weekend and
Right.
come back home. I mean, that's all we
Looking
thought.
back in hindsight, because that was kind of like a decision at the drop of a dime, do you feel like that was actually your intuition, possibly your instinct?
I do. I feel like this is what I believe, okay? And I love the name of the show, Faith and Fame, because that's perfect. It's just perfect. So here's the thing that makes it deeper. I'm gonna go deeper. My husband and I always set these goals, and what we did with our goals, because I know people set goals, but the timeline in which you set the goal is also very important. So we would use our daughter as a timeline based on her age. So we always said that by the time she was 5, we wanted to be living in Atlanta so that she can go to better schools in a city that had better schools. My daughter was 5 years old. She had been to school 2 days in kindergarten in New Orleans, and a storm hit. And all of a sudden, we're in Atlanta. By the time she's 5, for her to start
Wow.
school.
Woo, come on, speaking
That
it
part.
into existence. That's what I like.
Yes, that part. Now, I hate that it took a storm to wipe the city away, because God knows we probably would have up and left, but we had just bought a home. Once again, we're a business owner, so we were getting comfortable. And so God said, okay, let's get this moving.
Wow.
And we ended up in Atlanta. Like I said, by the time she was five,
Wow.
for her to
The
start school.
timing. Wow. Okay. So
The
I also
timing.
read that, initially when you were in Atlanta, you were pursuing a career in music, but something happened that completely changed the entire trajectory of your life, and you were diagnosed with breast cancer. Let's unpack that, because that is life-changing, because you essentially went from chasing, a dream, a passion, to next thing you're fighting for your life. Let's talk about that. Tell me about that.
Absolutely. So I'm in Atlanta now. We're just starting to get adjusted. This is our new life. We're starting to embrace the fact that of the possibilities living in Atlanta, which is something we always wanted to do. But now we've been able to pick up the pieces of our life and begin to move forward, and are excited about the unlimited possibilities. So we're planning for a music video. I'm a recording artist. I had went to school for music business. I was always intrigued in business. My husband is a producer, and so now we've invested this money into a video shoot. I've recorded a song. We're getting the attention of a lot of influencers and artists in Atlanta. So we feel really good about this move. Well, a couple of months prior, I started to get this sharp shooting pain that would come into my breast periodically. It wouldn't stay long. It was this sharp shooting pain that would literally make me drop whatever I had in my hand, or would literally stop me in my tracks, where I would have to just take a deep breath and hold my breath. I know pain is usually not associated with cancer, but for me, this pain was my indicator to go get it checked out, because at the time, I would not have been thinking about that. Cancer did not run in my family. I'm a young woman. Nobody's thinking about cancer. At least I wasn't. And so to me, that was like the Holy Spirit indication to go and just check it out. And so when I went in, I never forget, I went into the doctor. They were going to do an ultrasound on me, because what they told me is, well, you don't get a mammogram until you're 35, so you're nowhere near that time yet. So we're going to just do an ultrasound. And the lady came back in that did the ultrasound and said, we need to do a mammogram. I said, I thought I wouldn't need it for another many years. And she said, no, we need to do it now. And so at that moment, I immediately just began to pray. I began to pray that God would just be with me. He would guide me for whatever it was, that He would never leave me in that moment, because I knew that that wasn't normal. That was not what I should have been hearing based on what she just told me. And so after getting the mammogram done, it takes a process for them to evaluate and do the lab work to see what's going on. It was a few days before the video shoot. We had people that had flown in town. We put a lot of money behind it. Everybody's really riding on this being our next break after what we had been through. And so we go into the doctor's office, and my husband and I are extremely impatient at this point, because we like, listen, we got to go. We got things to do. We only got a couple more days to this video shoot. That's the only thing that was on our minds. We were not thinking, not for a second, that we could have ever heard what we heard. And so we went to the receptionist and we say, listen, can she just call us or send us something in the email? Because we really have to go. We have something that we plan and we've invested a lot in. And the receptionist looked at me, and in that moment, her face turned from her face to my mom's face. And it was like my mom was telling me, in her words, little girl, you better go sit your little red self down somewhere. And that receptionist told me, she said, I don't know what you got to do and I don't know where you got to go, but you need to hear what your doctor has to tell you. My husband and I just looked at each other because we knew with the intensity and the tone of our voice that that was not normal. We just looked at each other. We did not discuss what we had experienced. We went, sat down, and we did not even, like, we just sat there. And when we got into the back, because at that moment, that was our first time entertaining the possibility that this could not be what we want to hear. We get to the back and she tells us slowly. And I was thinking to myself, why is she taking so long? I'm still young and patient and like, get it out. Like, hurry up. We still got to go. And I realized when she told me what she did, why she took so long to say it. Because I mean, when you're about to say the words that she told me, you don't really want to rush to get that out, because that those words about to change that person's life forever. And the words were, you're positive for cancer.
Wow. So let me pause you right there. After you heard those words, what was your very first reaction?
So my husband became extremely emotional immediately. I was numb, didn't even respond. So I'm literally rubbing his back.
You're consoling him in that moment.
Because I'm consoling him in that moment. He can't believe what he just heard. And he immediately breaks down. His mom had battled cancer, a brain tumor, and he knew what it was like dealing with that and could not believe that this was happening. Me, I'm totally numb. I'm still processing what you said, because positive sounds positive. So you must positively mean that I don't have cancer. That's what you must positively mean. So I'm still dealing with what you're saying to me and digesting the words, because I'm like, this is not real. This is not my life. And so slowly but surely, we begin to have the real conversation. And the one thing that she did for me that I'll never forget, it totally changed my life, but it changed my life for the positive. She said something to me that I would want to say to anybody who's dealing with this or battling or dealing with anything. She said, this does not mean that you have to come die on now. She said, and what's going to determine it is your attitude.
That just gave me chills. That's it.
It changed my life. It changed my life so much that when I would go to the oncology center, it's older Caucasian people. And they're looking at me like, what is this young Black girl doing? Like, what is she doing in here? And I would always come in. If I'm feeling good, I'm feeling good. I had happy energy. I was jolly. The nurses would come in the room and they would be prepared, looking at the chart, seeing how young I was. They would be prepared to, you know, oh my gosh, this woman has been through so much goodness. And I would be just in there just, hey, how you doing? Like, if I felt good, I felt good. I did not allow it to take over me. I did not look at it as a death sentence. I did not look at it like it was the end. I knew that the God that I serve, he could do anything. So surely I could overcome this. And so it changed absolutely the way I looked at everything.
You can't, you cannot claim victory, but walk in defeat. If you're going to believe in your healing, you got to walk in it full, even in your attitude. That is amazing. So since, you know, we're talking about your faith, how did you lean on God during that time? Were there any moments of transparency where you can say that, you know, it made you question God, or like, God, why is this happening to me? How did I end up in this place? Did you ever question your faith at all?
So there was times where I remember chemotherapy was so hard. Oh gosh. So I had to take 8 rounds of chemotherapy and it would be like 3 weeks apart. And the first one was tough, but it got tougher. And I remember even before losing the hair and the eyebrows and the lashes and being totally bald, having the family support around me was a huge impact. I mean, my husband loved me bald and all. I mean, he made me feel beautiful, unbelievably. When I was looking like that, he just did. And he gave me so much hope, because while I was laying in what could have been a death bed, he would always give me hope for the future. And he would say to me, when you get out of this bed, he would say to me, I know you're going to go hard. I know all the dreams that you have. I know the visions that God showed. He would speak that into me. And so when somebody speaks life into you like that, it gives you something to look forward to. So I would tell anybody that's listening to the people that are around you, if you're around somebody who's dealing with anything, give them something to look forward to. Tell them about their future. Tell them, you know, when they do it, as if it's already done. And so there were some times where I would just lay in bed. For the most part, I was upbeat. I was jolly because of the love that was around me. But there was sometimes that I was like, oh my God, like the reality is people die from this all the time. There was sometimes I'm like, God, you showed me so much. Like I questioned, like, what did I do? I started to think about, what did I do to deserve it? Those were things that went through my mind. Like, oh my God, you know, what did I do? You know, God, forgive me. I literally was thinking about, was I mean to people? Did I do something ugly? Did I, like, you know, what did I do to deserve it? And so I believe that it was, if I questioned anything, I questioned me not being righteous or me not doing my part. I knew that God still loved me. I never felt that he left me, but I didn't know why I had to be the one to go through this. And I also looked at like, oh my gosh, you know, there's some people that do horrible things and they never have to deal with this. And so there were moments that I did feel like that. But what also kept me was my praise and worship music. It gave my spirit a sense of calm. It gave me a sense of peace. And it gave me a sense of power. So I will always have my praise and worship music on. People really couldn't be around me because when you go through chemo, your immune system is very low and weak. Not only that, you're very nauseated. So smells and fast movement, all of those things could really affect you. So it was really a lot of time with me and God and my husband coming in and, you know, helping me and, you know, doing what he did. But I reflected a lot and I grew a lot.
I think that is so profound that something that could have potentially killed you actually made you better. Whew, that gave me chills. But you also said something. Now, this is not a show about relationships, but you said something that I have to talk about. It's so important to be clear and make a sound decision on who you choose to do life with and partner with, especially in marriage, because that person has the ability to either pour life back into you or deplete you. And hearing you say that your husband spoke words of life into you, telling you once you beat this, you know, you go kill it. That is a mate. Lord, can you send me that kind of man, please? That is amazing.
Yeah. I believe it's one of the most important decisions that we will ever make in life, who you marry. And I believe that for women who are, you know, preparing for their husbands, because I believe that we got to understand
that's right.
So as we are getting prepared for what we want, that we will really seek what God has for us, and that we won't get to the point where we, you know, as women, I'm just speaking in whole, just become tired and accepting of anything, because it's those moments that make all the difference in the world. And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for who he's been in my life and just our connection. And so absolutely, it was a blessing, because once again, he made me feel beautiful. When I know I look in the mirror and I look like an alien, he massaged my head, my body, my back, and still wanted to make love. I mean, it was just unbelievable. I was like, you got to be kidding me. And he continued to just make me once again. He gave
for
me
better or worse,
the future.
For better or worse.
Yes. And he was still afraid when I came on the other side of it. He said, I was so afraid and many times so alone, because I had no one to really talk to. There was no one that was really thinking about supporting the spouse during that time. There was no one that really thought, how is he holding up during this? And so he was afraid and he was alone, but I never saw it.
Wow, that is beautiful. Well, now that you've overcome all of that, let's talk about where you are present day. Let's talk about wealth. After all the treatments and lifestyle changes, you decided to dive into the world of cryptocurrency. And since then, you've made millions. Millions. Like, what? You've made millions. So let's start here. So for those of us who aren't really up on the crypto game, what exactly is cryptocurrency in layman terms?
Yeah, so cryptocurrency is that. It's a currency, money. So it's a digital asset. Like everything else that we are doing now is now digital. So we no longer use paper checks. We've been using debit cards for quite some time because our whole world has changed. And Brittany, what I think about is when we used to have paper checks and before we had the internet and the internet was introduced, right? I remember the early 2000s and the late 90s where I couldn't fathom, I couldn't see the future. I couldn't understand how this worldwide web would work, right? But when they transitioned us from paper checks to debit cards Nobody asked our permission. It was just this debit card that we was going to get. And guess what? A lot of us believed in conspiracy theories and we was like, something ain't right with this. But guess what? It didn't really matter because you either going to get a debit card and use it or you won't be able to operate successfully in the future. So they didn't need our permission. And so I look at cryptocurrency, Bitcoin specifically, as that exact change that happened in the early 2000s, late 90s, when our world changed significantly. And now today we cannot imagine a world without the internet. Well, in a few years, we won't be able to imagine a world without cryptocurrency because it's the future of money. That's what it is. And Bitcoin is the grandfather of them all. It was established in 2008 and it came to market in 2009. At that time, it was worth 1 cent. Today it's worth over 50,000 for a coin. And I believe the intimidation comes from, for number one, it being a new concept, but number two, the price point. So most people in my community, they feel like, well, it's 50,000, so clearly I'm out of that, right? But the truth is, you can put in $50 a week and start saving your money in cryptocurrency instead of saving your money in the US dollar, because at least with cryptocurrency, Bitcoin specifically, it gives you the potential for it to grow. The dollar has been depreciating for decades. So if you save $50 a week in a US dollar, next year you're definitely, your money is worth less. That means in buying power, you're not going to be able to do as much next year with it that you could do today. So instead of saving your money traditionally the way you save it now in a savings account, you can open up a crypto wallet, begin to save a small amount, $5, $10, $50 a week, whatever you want. And then next year, the potential of the earning is, I'm talking about really unlimited. So from last year, I believe it was August, July, August, Bitcoin was about $8,000 and today it's 50,000. By December of 2021, this year, Citibank analysts are already projecting that Bitcoin is going to be $300,000.
Wow.
300,000 by December 2021. So where would you prefer to store your wealth, save your money, if you know that the dollar is depreciating? It's going to get worse because the more they print more money with the stimulus check, the weaker the dollar becomes. And the more they print more money with these stimulus checks and put out all of these loans, the stronger crypto becomes. So we see the writing on the wall. Most people just don't understand it. And that's why I wrote Bitcoin Baby, to help them with baby steps to understand
Ah,
this world,
makes
to not be
sense.
left out.
Okay, so for those interested, what would be the first step? Would you suggest going to your website?
It would be buybitcoinbaby.com, buybitcoinbaby.com, purchase Bitcoin Baby. It's an amazing book. Not only do I provide resources of exchanges that you can purchase Bitcoin on and other cryptocurrencies like Ethereum, and different alternative coins, I also show you how to store it and protect your money, to secure your money. I also provide you who else is in the market doing it so you can understand its credibility. I also provide you all the facts and the details, but more importantly, I give you the strategy. My strategy of long-term wealth accumulation, of how I'm planning to hold it until it's $1 million a coin, because I don't have a need for it. But even for a person who's saying, listen, I'm not in a position to hold my money even to the end of the year, I need to spend money now. My bills got to get paid. So the short-term strategy of how you can actually trade cryptocurrency in a foreign exchange market and use it for your lifestyle today, just like I do. So I have all of that inside of the book, Bitcoin Baby, and you can purchase that at
Perfect. That's what
buybitcoinbaby.com.
I'm talking about, making it practical and giving us the steps to succeed. All right. Now tell me about this partnership you have with the Stephen Margie Harvey Foundation. How did it come about? What is it exactly are you guys doing together?
Yes, I'm so excited to be working with Stephen Marjorie Harvey's Foundation. Young lady I've been knowing for a long time, Paige, she saw what I was doing as one of the only Black women inside of this space amongst a lot of our older Caucasian brothers and Asians that are in the space. And so she just thought it would be phenomenal for me to share what we do inside of Rich University to help single moms. This being Women's Month, Steve Harvey's heart is for young Black boys and their moms. You know, they need resources. They need to have access to, information that's going to help them to make better decisions. And so I'm going to be speaking to single moms on Sunday to show them how we can really help with what their children are doing. They're into tech already. They're playing games already. And so if we can help them to learn a skill set, the boys to learn a skill set, it can be a blessing to the sons as well as to their mothers. And so I'm really excited to serve and to serve in that way to Steve and Marjorie Harvey's
That's
foundation.
That's awesome. All right. Okay, check you out, girl. You've definitely inspired me. I'm definitely going to go ahead and jump in and dive into the crypto game myself. So I will be purchasing your book.
Yes, make sure you get that
absolutely
book.
But to conclude, yes, before we wrap up, I like to do something called an elevator sermon. So for all of our listeners, what is a quick word of encouragement or inspiration or anything that's on your heart that you want to leave us with today?
That's so good. I believe that we're in a time where things are changing so fast. And I believe that so many people have went through transitions in 2020, and some people are left not knowing what to do. Their lives have changed drastically, whether it be employment and not having the same job and being laid off or furloughed, or whether it be losing a loved one or a relationship or whatever the case may be. I just want you to know that God is so faithful. And if you're here listening now, you have so much purpose that's on the inside of you. You mean so much to the world, and God has given you something that you're going to have to trust and you're going to have to move in. And sometimes in life, when God shows us something in a dream or in a vision, he only shows it to us. And so when we go and share these dreams and ideas and visions with loved ones and family members and friends, sometimes they don't see what we saw. And it's important that you trust what he put on the inside of you and begin to move. Find community of supportive people that are like-minded. Connect on with them so that your dreams could come into fruition. I want to encourage anybody that's listening right now to trust and believe in what God has given you on the inside. Connect with those individuals around you who have similar visions and ideas. Ask the right questions to the people who already have your answers, not the people with your problems, but the people who have your answers, and move in it, because you matter and you mean so much. And we are looking forward to hearing your story of how you've overcome whatever you're going through right now. And I know you're going to do it. I know you're going to be successful.
Amen. Oh, so good. So good.
Amen.
So you've already shared with us your website. Tell us how we can follow you on social media and keep up with your movement.
Yes, I am doing the most on Instagram for sure. So follow me at China Bethley on Instagram. That's China with a Y, C-H-Y-N-A-B-E. T-H-L-E-Y. I only have one page, but here's what I can tell you. Because of the thousands of people globally that I'm helping inside of this space, there is a lot of the black market going on too. And so my work is so credible. I'm a global ambassador with the United Nations. I received a Lifetime Achievement Award from our 44th President Barack Obama. And I'm one of the only females inside of this space that's doing what we do. It's only a few of us. And so for a lot of people who don't know about cryptocurrency and Bitcoin, because they're not educated, they don't know the alarms to watch out for, right? There were criminals that did hardware criminals, not as software criminals. So if you follow me at China Bethley on Instagram, and then somebody else with a similar name follows you, that's not me. If I follow you back, it's the same main page. I just had to put that out there, because I think what's happening on Instagram, and it may be happening with YouTube, Brittany, anybody that's making impact, that's influencing, that's doing something, there's these fake pages that's popping up, and people must be aware on it. And one way that I help people to be aware is by educating them, by letting them know this is happening. So I'm China Bethley, C-H-Y-N-A-B-E-T-H-L-E-Y. On Instagram, and you definitely can follow my movement there. I have a VIP community where I help you with group coaching for the mindset, helping you to have a wealthy mindset. And then I have an investors academy that allows you to bring the book and the mindset together and bring
so
the book to life.
Good to know. I mean, I think you covered it all. Thank you so much again for joining me. I really, really appreciate it. And it's been a great pleasure speaking with you. And I'll be keeping up with your movement. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Faith and Fame with Brittany Q. Hill. Be sure to subscribe and make sure to rate us 5 stars on iTunes. See you next week.